Gonna record this for those who are not on the line right now, but thanks for learning with me over the phone. I'm sorry I'm not feeling well, but Bezrat Hashem will Torah will heal us all. Okay, Kedushas Levi for Parshas Miketz Tavshin Ayin Ches. Start with the first piece in the parsha. Very much B'derech HaPshat, he starts off with a simple question. He says, if you look at the beginning of the parsha, Paro has his dreams. And Yosef interprets his dreams that no one else could apparently interpret. And Yosef says to Paro that the seven cows represent 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. So the Ramban asks a simple question. The Ramban says, Masha hiksha haramban, heich lo niskayem habitaron shel Yosef, shiyasheva shnei rav. How could it be that the interpretation that there would be 7 years of famine didn't come true? Right, we know at the end of the day there were 7 years of plenty. And only 2 years of famine. From the time that Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, the famine was stopped. So how could it be that Yosef, who's supposed to be this truthful interpreter, and Paro had dreams? The dream showed that there was going to be 7 years of famine. So how did that not come to be? That's the Ramban's question. So perhaps we can answer, he says, Nira, Kikach Pasar HaChalom. This is what Yosef meant when he interpreted the dream. Here's how Yosef interpreted it. Yosef said, you have to understand how dreams work, and you have to understand how decrees of God work. Yosef says to Paro that God is revealing what he intends to do to Paro. What Hashem intends to do, he's telling Paro. Klomar, that if Hashem carries out the gzera, meaning the original plan, if no one gets in the way to stop Hashem, so to speak, if there's no tzaddik who comes to negate the will of God, to stop this harsh decree, this gezeirah of 7 years of famine, so this is what's going to happen. But there is a possibility that a tzaddik will come along and save the day. What does it mean? That the 7 years of famine, the intended 7 years of famine, which again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Paro in the dream, Klomar, Al Shnei Harav, Yochol Tzadik Levatel, Velo Shnei Sava. The years of plenty, a tzaddik can't take away, because when Hashem makes a gzera, when Hashem decrees something good, so that has to happen. But when Hashem makes a negative decree, it's possible for tzaddikim to overrule. Welcome, Isaac. Just mute your phone, please. It's possible for a person for a tzaddik to overrule that decree. So when Hashem revealed to Paro 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, again, that's without any interaction or interference of a tzaddik. But when the tzaddik Yaakov Avinu comes to Paro, that changes everything. And he says, that's what it means, that's the end of the piece, v'zeo v'ya'amideu lefnei Paro. It says that when Yaakov comes to Paro, it says that Yosef took his father, v'ya'amideu lefnei Paro, and he places him before Paro. What does it mean, before Paro? Perish lefnei kodem Paro. Lefnei Paro doesn't just mean that Yaakov stood physically in front of Paro, but it means that Yaakov had the ability to guide Paro and to interpret for Paro and to direct Paro. Shehu yinaheg es Paro, that he's going to be the one to dictate what's going to happen to Paro. So again, when Yosef predicted in the dreams that it's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, that's under the assumption that no tzaddik will interfere. And certainly the bracha, 7 years of plenty, came true. But the 7 years of famine were stopped by the tzaddik Yaakov coming to Mitzrayim. So it just explains to us very much B'derech HaPshat how Yosef's interpretation was still true. There was a plan of 7 years of famine, but it was canceled by the tzaddik coming to Mitzrayim. Okay, second piece in the parsha. It says that Yosef, after his dream interpretation, is so well recognized by Paro that he becomes a leader, and he becomes the one who's in charge of all the food. For Yosef hu hashalit, Yosef became the viceroy, hu hamashbir l'chol am ha'aretz. He was the one who was the mashbir, he's the one who provided food, l'chol am ha'aretz, for all of the people of the land. So the Berditchever says there's a difference between an am ha'aretz and the am Hashem. Ha'inyan ki yesh am Hashem v'am ha'aretz. There's the am Hashem, there's those righteous people who are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then there's the am ha'aretz, the people who are attached to physicality and attached to the things of this world. So he says that Yosef was the what? The mashbir l'chol ha'aretz, the pasuk says. What does that mean? Am Hashem Elo Hatzadikim. Va'am Ha'aretz Elo Hamedubakim La'aretz. The Tzadikim are welcome. Just mute your phone, please. Thanks for joining us. So the Tzadikim are called the Am Hashem, and the people who are more simple and connected to physicality are called the Am Ha'aretz. And the Am Ha'aretz, it's not good to be an Am Ha'aretz, obviously. V'tzarech lishbor osam. And we need to break the Am Ha'aretz. We need to break them away from that lifestyle of being attached to physicality. So that's what Yosef was good at doing. Yosef taught that you could be in Mitzrayim, and you could still be a holy person. That you could be in a place that's very physical, and you could not be an Am Ha'aretz. You could not be attached to the ground. So therefore the Pasuk says, V'zeh ha'remez, v'Yosef hu ha'shalit. Yosef was the person of power. The shalit means the viceroy. But Yosef was empowered, ha'mashbir. What does it mean he was mashbir? He was mashbir l'chol Am Ha'aretz. Mashbir l'chol Am Ha'aretz means that he was the one who broke that midah of being an Am Ha'aretz. Yosef taught people how to elevate themselves. Shemeshaber elu ha'anashim hasherim tzrichim alios. That he set free in a certain sense. He broke them away from a lifestyle of lowliness, of artzias, of physicality. That they should be able to have an aliyah. L'halos asamu likros Am Hashem. That you shouldn't be called an Am Ha'aretz, you should be called part of the Am Hashem. V'zeo ha'mashbir. And he says that's what it means. Yosef, again, the Pasha Pshat mashbir means that he provided. He was the one who provided them with shever, which means sustenance or food. But mashbir is learning as a lashon of breaking. That he broke their lowly midah of being connected to the earth. And he was lashon shever. He shattered them. La Am Ha'aretz likra Am Hashem. That they should no longer be called people of the earth, but they should be called the Am Hashem. And that's obviously a very holy thing that only Yosef HaTzadik could do. To take a low person, and Yosef becomes, for all of history, Yosef becomes a person who we can look to as someone who is in a place of artzias, of gashmias, and was able to be mashbir, to be able to shatter that, and to live a life of connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That he would still be a tzaddik even in Mitzrayim. Berdichever continues, O Yomar, V'Yosef hu ha-shalit hu ha-mashbir, Ratzalomar. He says, how does a person have power in this world? Who does Hashem give authority to? Ratzalomar V'Yosef ha-tzaddik, Sherotze lahosif al Yisrael rav tuv. That a person who wants to be a mashbir. If you want to have success in this world, if you want to be a person who achieves greatness, you have to be focused on how am I going to use my power to help others? Am I going to use my authority to mechazik other people? So Yosef HaTzadik, who wanted very badly, lahosif al Yisrael rav tuv, he wanted to do good for other people, zehu hashalit al aretz. It was because of that he became the shalit, he became the viceroy over the land. Lo niten hamamshala gam ba'olam haza. That he was given authority even in this world. I mean, he wasn't just rewarded in the next world, but because his life was dedicated to helping Klal Yisrael, to helping people, he was given power in this world. As opposed to those wicked individuals who want to cause harm to Klal Yisrael, and we see that even from amongst our enemies, even the ones who are given authority in order to interact with Klal Yisrael. But the more a person tries to do good for Klal Yisrael, the more power and authority he is given. Okay, so three little pieces so far. Again, telling us about the nature of Yosef's dreams and how they came true to a point, but then Yaakov was able to override the dream of 7 years of famine, and how Yosef was the one who had an attitude of lifting up those people who are connected to the earth. The Am Ha'aretz should become the Am Hashem, and that a person is given authority in accordance with his desire to do good for others. But now we come to a really remarkable piece, and if you ever wondered about Yosef's ability to have midos tovos, if you ever had an appreciation for how thoughtful Yosef was, this will take it to a whole new level. Yosef, we've said many times, had all the excuses in the world. He was sold by his brothers. He was an Ervas Haaretz. He was a young, handsome man who was all alone. He had every reason to become a rebellious Jew, to be a very hateful and angry person, to be a cynical person, to be a broken person, and yet Yosef always took the high road. And so much so that he didn't, and we see many times in these parshios, that there were opportunities for him to really take revenge against his brothers, and he dafka went out of his way to tell them, you have nothing to worry about, I'm not out to get you. But just look how far the midos tovos of Yosef HaTzadik go in this next piece. Ve'yavo achei Yosef v'yishtach v'lo apayim artza. The brothers of Yosef come to Yosef, and they bow down to him, faces to the ground. Ve'yar Yosef asachov, Yosef sees his brothers, ve'yaki reim, and he recognizes them. V'yisnaker aleihem, but he acted like a stranger towards them. He hid himself from them. V'yisnaker lashon nachri, he made himself foreign or strange to them. Why did he do that? V'yishlahavin ma ba lashmianu b'zeh shekasuv v'yisnaker aleihem. Why does the pasuk emphasize that he acted strange towards them? Or he acted in a way that he concealed himself from them, that they wouldn't recognize him. V'nira explains the berdishur. Da'kasuv ba lashmianu b'zeh tzidkas Yosef atzadik. Look how thoughtful and sensitive on a Bein Adam L'Chaveira level Yosef HaTzadik was. Kine Yosef Chalom Lo, She'achav Yishachvu Lo, Yosef had a dream that his brothers are going to bow down to him. Kidichsiv, Hinei Anachnu Me'almim Alumim, V'chulu, Hinei HaShemesh V'yareach, V'chulu. Right, all the dreams of Yosef that we learned about in the previous parsha. V'achav Lo Ratzu B'malchus Yosef Aleim. And the brothers, very strongly, as we saw, with hatred and with jealousy, didn't want Yosef to rule over them. And Yaakov Avinu, who knew that the dreams were going to come true, right, also criticized publicly, rebuked Yosef that he shouldn't talk that way to his brothers. It was clearly causing them a lot of aggravation. But of course, we know this was the Ratzon Hashem, and the dreams are going to come true, that the brothers are going to bow down to Yosef. But look how Yosef went out of his way in order not to make the brothers feel bad. When a person is victorious over his friend, that when a person realizes that he's being defeated, and not only is he being defeated, he knows who is defeating him, right? That he comes to the realization of who's responsible for my downfall. It's bad enough that I have to go through a difficulty, but to see someone who I don't like take advantage of me and to beat me, right? That makes it that much more painful. But when a person has a difficulty or a person is defeated and you don't know who's responsible for your downfall, it's less painful. More painful when you can identify the individual who caused you to suffer. So Yosef, in his sensitivity to his brothers, he knew the brothers had to bow down to him. That was the dream. That was the Dvar Hashem that had to come true. But Yosef went out of his way to make the brothers bow down to him without them realizing that they're bowing down to him. V'nebekan Yosef, here in the situation when Yosef is being victorious over his brothers, b'kiyam achalomos asher chalom lo, she'achav yishtachvu lo, that the dream was seeing its fulfillment, that Yosef's brothers were in fact bowing down to him, uve'emes heim lo ratzu b'zeh, and of course the brothers greatly rejected this, they didn't want this, that Yosef should be victorious over them, she'yosef yinatzeach osam, v'yitztarchu l'shtachvu lo, it was a source of great aggravation for them, v'zeh ha'yetzidkas Yosef atzadik. Yosef and his tzidkus tried to minimize their pain. At the moment that he was being victorious over them, if they knew that they were bowing to Yosef, it would have been very painful for them, because then they would be proven wrong, and they would have learned it in a very harsh way, that they had been incorrect. Yosef in his sensitivity to his brothers didn't want them to suffer and he didn't want them to feel bad. So therefore Yosef went out of his way to conceal himself, to act strange towards them, to act hidden from them. That they shouldn't feel pained by being defeated by him, as they were through the fulfillment of the dreams. And in their minds they were bowing down to some random Egyptian, some viceroy in Egypt. In truth, it was Yosef who was acting as king, but they didn't experience pain as they were bowing to him. Because as far as they understood, they were bowing down to a foreign king. But again, this was all part of Yosef's sensitivity. On the one hand, to carry out the Dvar Hashem, because the dreams were true, but at the same time, that the brothers shouldn't feel bad about the situation. That's what the pasuk means when it says they bowed down to him. He recognized that they were going to experience agmas nefesh, that it would be painful for them to know that it was Yosef, and therefore Yosef concealed himself from them. Right? He hid himself. He acted strange to them. They shouldn't be pained over the fact that they were being defeated by Yosef. So that's an amazing thing. It's a remarkable midah of Yosef to not cause them any additional pain. But more than that, More than that, he says in the next paragraph, if you don't mind just muting your phone, whoever that is, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. V'efshar lomar, but he goes a step further. He says, why didn't Yosef contact, the famous question, why didn't Yosef contact Yaakov Avinu? 22 years he's in Mitzrayim. He was an important person. He could have sent a message. He could have contacted Yaakov and told him that in fact he's alive to relieve some of the pain of his father. Why didn't Yosef reach out to Yaakov all those years? So says the Berditcher an amazing thing. Again, Chazal already addressed this question, and the Rishonim definitely addressed this question, but the Berditcher has an unbelievable shot. He says that it could be, Be'ef Shalomar, Shezeh Haya Kavanas Yosef Atzadik, Shlodiyo La'aviv Shu Melech V'Shu Chai. This could perhaps explain why Yosef didn't tell his father, I'm the king, I'm alive, everything's good. She Yosef Yada, She Yakuya Machalomas Asher Cholam Lo Alachav, She Yavov Yishtachu Lo. Because Yosef knew that at some point, his brothers are going to come to him, and his brothers are going to bow down to him and fulfill him to the dream. So if he would have told his father that he's alive and that he's the viceroy in Mitzrayim, and then the brothers would come and bow to him, again, the brothers would be pained to know that it was Yosef. So can you imagine, for 22 years, Yosef didn't contact Yaakov Avinu because he was concerned that if Yaakov knows that he's alive, when the brothers finally come to bow down to him, it's going to be it'll be additionally painful for them. And again, that was Yosef's sensitivity, not to cause any pain to others. Yes, he was being given a great position of authority, and the brothers didn't understand that, but Yosef knew it was the Dvar Hashem. But just because you're carrying out the will of God doesn't mean that you have the right to trample others along the way. And that was the unbelievable sensitivity of Yosef to suffer silently and not contact his father for 22 years, knowing that when the brothers come to bow down to him, it'll be less painful for them if they don't realize that they're bowing to Yosef. Really an amazing, amazing pshat, an amazing lesson in Ben Adam L'Chaveru. Okay, we'll skip the next little piece, the piece that begins, Vayomer Aleihem Lo, Ki Er Vasa'aretz Basim Liros. We'll skip that piece, and we'll go to the piece after that. Vayomer Aleihem Yosef B'Yom HaShlishi. Yosef, after he accuses the brothers of being spies, and he throws them in jail for 3 days, and now after 3 days, he finally lets them out of jail, and he says to them as follows, Vayomer Aleihem Yosef B'Yom HaShlishi, Zos Asu V'Chiyu. Do this, and you'll live. Es Elokim Ani Yarei. You should know that I'm God-fearing. Im kein matem, if you're telling me the truth, and that, in fact, you are brothers, and there really is a younger brother, well, as achichem hakaton, bring me your younger brother, vayasu kein, and they did so. So the Berditcher asks a couple of questions. First of all, when Yosef first says to them, this is what you should do in order to live, oh, by the way, you should know that I'm God-fearing, well, why not put it the other way around? Yesh ledaktik. Lefi apshat, maybe it would have made more sense to say, meaning if Yosef wants to convince them, they don't have to be afraid that he's trying to take advantage of them. He should first say, you should know that I'm a God-fearing person, and therefore you should do this in order to live. If you're telling me the truth, bring your younger brother to me. Why does he say, do this in order to live? And then he says, oh, by the way, you should just know that I'm God-fearing. And then he tells them what to do. It would have made more sense to begin his address by saying, Es Elokim Ani Yarei. That's his first question. The second question, which really jumps out at us, is that what does it mean vayasu kein, and they did this, they did so. What did they do? They didn't do anything. They didn't bring Binyamin yet. That's going to take place much later. The two, Masha Amar akasa vayasu kein, shemash masha asu miyad. When it says that they did so, it makes it sound like they acted immediately, but they didn't do anything immediately. V'halo havas Binyamin haya achar kach. Bringing Binyamin to Yosef is going to take place later. Achar alosam la'aviyem. They're going to go back to Yaakov. They're going to get permission to bring Binyamin. So why does the pasuk say, "Vayasu kein"? Lashon vayasu kein, mashma demiyad asu kein. It says vayasu kein and makes it sound like they did something immediately. What did they do immediately? They didn't do anything yet. So again, two questions: Why doesn't he begin his address by saying, "I'm God fearing"? And second of all, what does it mean, "Vayasu kein"? They responded immediately. That the brothers were just packing their bags and getting ready to head back to Yaakov. Right? They weren't able to fulfill Yosef's command immediately, to bring Binyamin immediately. V'nir Ali explains the Heilige Berditchever. Dinei zeh hadracha hanachona la'adam. We learn an important way that a person is supposed to act in all situations. Bekum adam alav. When a person confronts you, when you're faced by another human being who's giving you trouble, facing difficulty. Yadino so lekafschus. You should try to realize, this is already an idea that the Sefer HaChinuch emphasizes, by the prohibition of not taking revenge. Why should I not take revenge? Someone harmed me. Why shouldn't I get even with them? Because if I'm a mature religious thinker, I realize that it's not that person who harmed me. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to suffer. This person was a shliach for Hashem, whether or not he had the right to do so or not. But the bottom line is, I have to receive my difficulties as coming from Hashem. It's not the person who caused me difficulty. So the individual should be dan lekafs. I should be dan that individual lekafs chus. So that's what he says here. When a person is confronted by another human being, yadino so lekafs chus. You should judge that individual positively, in a positive way. Sha'osa kol aman yiras Hashem yisbarach. That everything is being done out of his fear of Hashem. And when I realize that whatever is happening, I assume is for a good reason, and it's not out of, God forbid, a wickedness that it's happening to me, right? But if a person is giving me trouble, and again, I give them benefit of the doubt that they're doing it for the right reason, whatever the reason is. So when I judge that person favorably, and I bring Hashem back into the equation, that draws that individual close to me. And then I'm able to make peace with that individual because I've drawn close to him by not making him into my enemy, by trying to see this as part of Hashem's will, that everything that happens is for a reason. So now we understand what Yosef said to the brothers. Yosef says to the brothers, do this and you'll live. Why? Because I'm God-fearing. If you realize that I'm not out to get you, if the brothers, if you realize that whatever's happening to you is the Ratzon Hashem, then you'll be able to feel that you can trust me, you'll feel comfortable with me. You should know that I'm God-fearing. And you should know that whatever's happening here is not out of, God forbid, rishus, out of an evil intent. I'm not coming to harm you. I'm not trying to make your life difficult because I'm an evil person. And that which I'm asking of you, that which I'm requesting of you to bring your brother to me, I'm not doing it because this is an evil plot to throw all of you into jail. If you're telling me the truth, you can trust me and bring your brother to me, and that will prove that you're not spies. Vayasu came. So what's the vayasu came? What does it mean? What did they do immediately? Vayasu came means shezeh asu miyad, that this they achieved immediately. Sheheminu shu yare elokim ve'eino osa misina, that they came to the immediate realization that what Yosef was doing to them, right? Vayasu came, they were comfortable with it right away, is what it means. That they realized that Yosef could be trusted and he wasn't acting out of hatred. And that's why the brothers turned to each other right afterwards, right after the series of psukim. Right? And the brothers all of a sudden realize, they say, you know what? If these things are happening to us, it's not because Yosef's a bad guy. Well, they don't know it's Yosef, but it's not because this individual is an evil person and he's taking advantage of us. It must be something that we did. Right? And that's really the mature way to look at all of life's suffering. Not to say my boss is giving me trouble, or my spouse is giving me trouble, or my parents are giving me trouble, or my roommate is giving me trouble, or my teacher is giving me trouble. Right? To realize that whatever's happening is for a reason, that person is a shliach of Hashem, and to be able to say, you know what, whatever's happening must be something that I did. I'm not merely being the recipient of someone else's evil intentions. And that's why the brothers say, what's the pasuk right after? They say, aval Hashem imanachnu alachino. We're guilty over our brother. It's our fault. They realize that whatever's happening to them is because of what they did to their brother long ago. Shetalu adavar ba'atzmam. They realized that it was their own mistakes that gave them these difficulties, and it wasn't the wicked viceroy who was standing in front of them who was causing trouble for them. Raku yarei shemayim, but rather the individual in front of them was God fearing. V'heim garmim shabal lehemze, and they were the cause of their own difficulties. And again, it's very important to realize when we have difficulties in life and people give us trouble, we should realize that person is just a shliach. It's not your place to deal with them. You're missing the point. If you're focused on the individual who's giving you trouble, you're missing the point. The goal is to realize that this is a shliach of Hashem, and I have to negotiate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can I be a better Jew and hopefully change that situation for the better? Okay, and now for finally the last piece on the Parsha. A little bit of a shorter shir today, not as many pieces. But the last piece on the Parsha, also a remarkable piece from the Berdichever. When Yaakov hears that the brothers have told this viceroy that they have a Binyamin, that they have a younger brother, Yaakov says to them, Lama har yosim li? Why did you do this bad thing? To tell this man that you have another brother. So let's ask ourselves a question. Yaakov Avinu, we've said many times, the opposite of Esav, his midah is Ayin Tov. Pointed out from the Vilna Gaon, that Yaakov Avinu lived 147 years, because the gematria of Ayin Tov is 147. When Esav says, Yesh li Rav, Esav says, I have a lot, but I don't have everything. Yaakov says, Yesh li Kol. Yaakov says, I have everything. I can see things in a good way. Esav comes with his 400 men. 400 is gematria Ayin Ra, a bad eye, an evil eye. And Yaakov is the one who davens to Hashem and says, Yesh li Kol, I have everything that I need. So Yaakov is a person who we see in many Svarim is the embodiment of Ayin Tov, of seeing things in the right way. So why didn't Yaakov say Gamzu Latova? Yaakov hears that they told the brothers, told Yosef, told his viceroy, that they have another brother. Right? Why does Yaakov get upset? Shouldn't Yaakov say, okay, if that's what you told him, I guess there's a reason for it. Why does Yaakov here seem to say something that's very unlike Yaakov? That he gets upset, he says, Lama Hari Osimli, why did you make trouble for me? Again, the piece we were just learning a moment ago. Why didn't Yaakov realize that whatever's happening here is part of Hashem's master plan? Why is he getting upset and blaming the brothers, his sons, for causing this trouble for him? So the Berditchever tells us an amazing secret. He says there's a medrash on this pasuk. The medrash tells us on this pasuk, Me'olam lo dibur Yaakov levatala. Yaakov never, in his entire life, said a dibur levatala. Yaakov never wasted a word. Everything that Yaakov says in the Torah is entirely purposeful and meaningful. It's interesting. We know that there's a connection between the peh and the bris, between Kedushas HaPeh and Kedushas HaBris. And we find that by Yaakov Avinu, he was very, very nizhar in Kedushas HaBris. So much so that when Yaakov gives birth, when Yaakov impregnates Leah and Reuven is born, Reuven is described as Rachis Oni, the first of my strength. It was the first drop of Zera. Yaakov was not a young man at the time, but it was the first drop of Zera to ever leave his body. So it makes sense that a person who's so guarded in Kedushas HaBris is also so guarded in Kedushas HaPeh. So that's what the Medrash is saying, that nothing Yaakov ever said in his life was Levatala. Every word that Yaakov says, you have to be able to make sense of it. So again, we're left with the question, why would Yaakov speak in this negative way? The Medrash quotes a pasuk, Vizesha Amar, Lama Tomer Yaakov Utadaber Yisrael. Right? Why would Yaakov or Yisrael, meaning the Jewish people, say, Nistara Darki Me Hashem, Me Elokai Mishpati Yaavor. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, which is describing, the Pesukim are describing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forever. And the pasuk says, why do the Jewish people complain that Hashem is ki'ilu, not paying attention, and Hashem is overlooking the judgment, Hashem is not being precise? Right? Why would Klal Yisrael say such a thing? That's the pasuk that the Medrash quotes on our pasuk, when the Medrash tells us that Yaakov didn't speak any words levatala. So again, it's a strange Medrash. On the one hand, it's telling us Yaakov never said words in vain, and then it quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya about the Jewish people complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in vain. How do we understand this Medrash? So the Berditchever reveals the secret. He tells us HaKlal Hu. The rule is as follows. Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avraham, of course they were people, but they were more than people. They were much more than people. Right? Each one of them represents a midah. Each one of them represents a presentation of Torah to such a degree that everything that they ever did becomes Torah. And ma'isa avos simin labanim. Kol masha asu avos asu roshem lebneim. Every single move that they make. You wonder sometimes, the Torah has long arichas about Yaakov with Lavan's sheep. What do we need all of this? But if you look in the writings of the Arizal, those colored and speckled and spotted sheep are mamish being meramis to the secrets of creation. So Yaakov is bigger than Yaakov, and Avram is bigger than Avram, and Yitzchak is bigger than Yitzchak. Each one of them, every move they made, is shaping history, and makes a roshem, makes a mark on the world for their children. Avram asa roshem dalet galios and atzeachosam. Avram put into motion the possibility of emerging from the four exiles, and so to everything that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did. V'nimtza kol mashe dibru ha'avos hu reshima lebneim. And so too, everything that they did and every single thing that they said makes a reshima. So every word that Yaakov says makes an impact, shapes Klal Yisrael. So again, we have a medrash that tells us that Yaakov doesn't waste any words, and yet we have a pasuk here where we're not sure why Yaakov spoke in the way that he did. So look how the Berditchever puts it all together. He says, "V'hinei kol ma sheYisrael osim umedavrim letova osim roshem lamala." Of course, we try to be like Yaakov, and to speak positive words, and to have an ayin tov, to such a degree that everything that we say makes a mark on high. But what happens when we speak negatively? What happens when a Jew speaks in a way that a Jew shouldn't speak? We don't obviously don't want that to make a roshem in Shemayim. We'd like those words to be removed from the record. If we occasionally speak a word that's impure or is misguided, Osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu letovas Yisrael, Hashem does us a big favor. Shadibur shel Yisrael she'enu letova shelo yaseh roshem lamala. When a Jew says something positive, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets that like a mark on Shemayim. Every time a Yid says, we want Mashiach now, that brings Mashiach closer. Every time a Jew says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love you, that brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer. But when a Jew speaks Lashon Hara, or when a Jew speaks something negative, or a Jew questions HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha and his ability to be the judge of the Shofet Kol Haaretz, right, those words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his kindness, he overlooks them. So where did that come from? Who created the possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would overlook negative words? So we said that everything we have comes from the Avos. So Yaakov Avinu, Bekavana, spoke something that a Jew shouldn't speak to make a possibility that when we speak words that shouldn't be spoken, they would also be removed from the record. Look how he puts it together. It's brilliant. Lezeh Yaakov Amar Kan. Yaakov says, La Mahari Yosem. Yaakov says, why did you cause trouble for me? Says the Berditcher, Halo Be'emes Ein La Adam Lomar Zeh Lama Asisa Kach. A person shouldn't speak that way. Halo Yesh La Adam Lomar Al Kol Masha Asa Gamzu Letova. A person should have the attitude, Tanis Chafalef Amar Aleph, Nachamish Gamzu. A person should always say Gamzu Letova. Or like Rabbi Akiva used to say, Kol Ma Da'avid Rachmana Letav Avid. That everything Hashem does is for the best. So how could Yaakov Avinu, again, the one who's the embodiment of Ayin Tov, say, Lama Hari Osamli, how could you make trouble for me? The answer is, Uvedibur Zesh Amar Yaakov, Asaroshim Labanov. The fact that Yaakov spoke, again, in such a way, that also made a Roshim for us. What does that mean? Just like when Yaakov said these words, they didn't make a mark on high. So b'kavana, Yaakov Avinu said something in a way that a Jew shouldn't speak, knowing that whatever he says is going to be taken seriously. Because Yaakov is Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks this improper word. And that becomes Ma'isa Avo Simul Labanim, that when we too speak improper words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will overlook our negative words. And that's how he reads the Medrash, in the final paragraph. V'zem me'olam lo dibur Yaakov levatala. And that's what it means. Yaakov never spoke a word in vain. What do you mean? These words are improper words. Says the Berditcher, no. Klomer, afilu b'zeh hadibur. Even when Yaakov said something negative, lama hariosem. When Yaakov said something negative, it wasn't in vain. Yaakov did it with kavana. Lo ayil levatala. He did it dafka, also b'zeh roshem labanav. Yaakov wanted to speak in a way to make the possibility that just like Yaakov, so to speak, spoke in a way that was improper, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take it too seriously, that would become the metzias for us. It was a big chesed that Yaakov Avinu did for us, and it was not batala, it was done with tremendous kavana. V'zeh shekasa b'medrash. Now we understand what the medrash says. The pasuk that the medrash quotes from Yeshaya, Lama Tomer Yaakov. Lama Tomer Yaakov, why should Yaakov say, why does Yaakov say, Klomar, Lama Amar Yaakov Zehadibur? Again, our question, why did Yaakov say, Lama Hariosem Li? How could Yaakov speak in such a way? Shouldn't he have said Gamzu Latova? Answers the Pasuk, Nistara Darki. Ze Shihu Darki, Ve'ein Derech Hashem, Ye Nistar Me Hashem. Right? What does the Pasuk say? Nistara Darki Me Hashem. That Nistara, it should be hidden from Hashem, Darki. When I do things that are Darki, and not the Derech Hashem, when I act in a way that's improper, that should be hidden from Hashem. V'shelo yasu roshem lamala. And it shouldn't make a mark on high. It should be removed from the record. And again, that's all b'schus Yaakov Avinu, who spoke negatively with kavana, almost an avera lishma, if you will, in order to make that possibility for us. And that's a chashuv thing to think about. We spoke a lot about this word roshem. Roshem, leaving a mark. The whole koach of Chanukah, to leave a mark. The oil stains very deeply. To realize that everything the Avos did leaves a mark in this world, but so to us, everything that we do, it leaves a mark in Shemayim, because we're able to follow in the footsteps of the Avos HaKadoshim. Okay, so Amir Tashem, we should be zochah to have the midos of Yosef HaTzadik, the sensitivity to others, even when carrying out the Dvar Hashem. We should realize that all struggles and troubles that come our way is all part of Hashem's master plan. We should realize the importance of speaking Diburim Tovim, and to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness to us in overlooking some of our negative diburim, and like Yosef HaTzadik, who helped people to break away from their artzias, Amir Tz Hashem, Chanukah, the light of Chanukah, should illuminate our lives, and give us the chizik to live elevated lives, to be part of the Am Hashem, and not, God forbid, to be amongst those who are labeled as Am Haaretz. Shkoyach to everyone. Have a great day, have a great Shabbos, and a Chanukah Sameach.